And so I just had to go ahead and tell you the title of the message, because where's the line to see Jesus? And the title of the day is, Do You See What I See? Do you see what I see? Because a lot of people are looking for Jesus, but they can't find him. He's not lost. Amen. It depends on what kind of king you're looking for. The king that you're looking for. Listen, we're right there in Matthew. Matthew chapter 2 is where we'll start this morning. See, don't focus on them lines at the restaurant. Man, we lining up now to see Jesus, ain't we? Amen. See, we want to see him walk in our lives today. And he desires to do that every day, is to fill us with good things. Those good treasures that the wise men and magi opened up, when you open up your treasures to God, he opens up his treasures to you. Amen? Amen. Oh, man, he's got a whole lot better treasures than we can offer him. But the main thing is, it's not all these things, it's us. Amen. Let me get there. Matthew 2, verses 1 through 2. It says, After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we have, what? We have seen his star. Seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. Do you see what I see? See, the shepherd, the wise men here, they had saw something. They had saw what Daniel had prophesied. They were looking for something. They were looking for that sign. And it came into their generation, these wise men, these magi. And when they seen the star, what did they do? They acted on it. They followed the star. They believed the prophecies. They had seen something in their hearts. And when you see something in your heart, you'll follow it. You'll pursue it. Amen? When I saw my to-be wife, I pursued her. I was in heavy, hot pursuit after her. I took her gifts. I wrote her poems. Did those little things that caught her attention. Jesus has sent, there's signs in the earth that are drawing men to get attention, that he has came, but he's coming again. We are his stars. We are his sons now. Through Christ, we are to let people see Jesus. We're to take our life and let it so shine. Let your light so shine that we'll continue to draw people to the kingdom. Amen. To Jesus. Let them see Jesus. Let them come line up at our house. Amen. In our neighborhood. Because, see, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I got another little video we'll show a little bit later. So when these magi, wise men, and I'd call them wise because they saw what they'd been expecting, they went after it. That made them wise. When wise men saw a star, they followed it. And it ended up taking them to this child. They saw Jesus. They saw the Christ child who they had been preparing all these gifts, this travel for. What they had heard about through the teachings of the prophet Daniel and through other prophecies now was right before their eyes. Don't give up on what God has spoken to your heart and showed you some things. Don't give up until you see it. Amen. You follow the sign. You follow his word. You follow what he's given you until you get there. Amen. And it's yours. And then you take it. Now, they didn't take Jesus, but they took that vision, they took that prophecy, they took that manifestation, and they were, that's what they had been taught and brought up. This is what they were looking for. And they were the generation, these wise men, they were the generation, they were the wise men that saw him. Guess what? When they went back home, there was a celebration. Now, I'm not sure they didn't have cameras back then, I guess, but they took a picture in their mind of this child, and they talked about him. Amen. Man, that was a story. Do you see what I see? That's what the wise men would say. And then let's go over to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 2. We're still going through the greatest story ever told. We went and seen one of the movies that came out this weekend, and it's amazing what they do with movies, with the graphics and you know, they brand and how the sound, they just put you right there. I'm waiting for somebody to do a movie about Jesus like that. put all this money, I'm talking about see the miracles and make it, or Moses splitting the Red Sea, and you know, just see it on the screen like I see some of these movies that I like to go, these action adventures movies. I want to see that about Jesus. I pray that, and God's got some Kendrick brothers. I just pray that they, for divine interventions, that they get all the money they need to do a spectacular movie about Jesus. Amen. To actually see that power demonstrated, you know, wow. Why not? Amen. What Jesus did, it needs to be on the big movie screen. Surround sound. all the latest graphics need to be put into a movie of what Jesus did. Some actors have done good. Mel Gibson, he done pretty good. We can do better. And there's all kinds of stories that can be told and pictures that can be made about Jesus. Luke 2, verses 8, verse 20. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." Now, I'll just throw this in here for some teaching. If somebody, a Christian or I don't know who, comes to you and starts telling you about angels, they've seen angels and all this stuff. When you see an angel, these men fell in fear. So when you see an angel, I think it's going to be an experience to where it ain't just going to be that you were calm and quiet. It's going to be a magnificent being. Spiritual being is going to show up, and I think you're going to fall down in fear too until he says, "Fear not, the Lord has sent me." So if you hear an angel story, it's going to be magnificent. Amen. That's how you can kind of judge whether they really saw an angel or not. These guys were greatly afraid, but the angel said, "Do not fear, for behold, I bring you good tidings." That angel should have something good to say to you. "Good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude. He's got a choir going on now. Got more to share this good news. "A multitude of the heavenly host praising God," not men, they were praising God for this birth, "and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill among men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, and could you see the shepherds with their mouths kind of dropped? You know, we see musicals and great things happen, but this didn't nothing match what they saw. They saw a multitude of these heavenly angels praising God, and it wasn't something quiet. Amen. Man, the heavens were lit up with the glory of God, and I bet these shepherds were like, wow, caught up in the glory of God, seeing this, and it didn't cost them anything but faith. They were there watching over their flock. But they were shepherds. They were in a position that this child that was going to be born in would be. Amen? God chose them. He chose to reveal himself to those shepherds. That was God's will and his plan. Ah, praise God, I lost my place now. Verse 15. "Let us now go to Bethlehem and" what? "See." Let us go to Bethlehem and see. Got something to see. Amen. Do you see what I see? "Let us go see this thing that has come to pass." The word says it. You believe it. You say it. It'll come to pass. Amen. I need to hear that. If the word says it, you believe it, you receive it, you say it, it's coming to pass. God has sent his army to bring it. Amen. He sent his army. It's happened. It's coming to pass. You see it. Amen. They saw it. They're ready to go see it. "And they came with haste," hurried up. Amen. They hurried up. They left everything laying and they went to see this thing. "And they came with haste," verse 16, "and found Mary and Joseph." Hey, breathing hard. You gotta, they're telling this story. "Listen, we got something to tell you. Listen. And the babe was lying in the manger." There he was. I bet Jesus wasn't crying. He was listening. He was listening. That was God at his birth. That was God's son being born. "And when they had seen him," do you see what I see? "They made widely known." They had something to say too. "The saying which was told them concerning this child, everything And all those that heard it, they marveled. They were in awe at what was coming out of these shepherds' mouths. And all those things which were told by the shepherds. But Mary, the mother of Jesus, she kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, what? Glorifying God and praising Him. They had a shout on. Amen. And they couldn't shake it. They had a shout of praise on. That's what we should have every time we come into this presence to praise and worship, is get your shout on, get your praise on, because we're worshiping Jesus. Amen. Amen. We get to heaven, God's going to give us some vocals we ain't even thought about having yet. Amen. But He says, go ahead and practice down here a little bit. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Because one day we're going to sing a song that the angels can't sing. Amen. It's going to be our song unto the Lord. And we're going to worship Him and bow down before His feet. And you know what He's doing? He's going to receive it. Because only Jesus is the only one that can receive our worship. Angels can't receive it. They'll tell you to get up. Amen. They say, don't bow. You bow to Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Do you see what I see? Do you see what I see? Now, I ain't got a scripture reference here. I think I did. I just probably forgot to write it in about 12 o'clock last night. Guest speaker right there. He's only going to be about 4 minutes with us, okay? I got to give my guest speaker 4 minutes. But another one. Remember Peter. Now, this was after Jesus started His ministry. But Peter had heard all these things about the Christ child. And Peter's walking with Him and talking with Him now, grown up. And Jesus asked Peter, who do men say that I am? People wasn't lining up in the mall to come see Jesus when He was born. Only those that it was revealed to, that had been seeking the Scriptures, that had been chosen by God, and they got to see. Peter was a chosen one. But Peter had to make the choice, if Jesus chose me, I honor Him and worthy Him enough that I'll choose and go follow Him. And he did. And one day Jesus asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're a prophet, a great prophet. But he looked at Peter. Peter, who do you? Who is Jesus? Who do you say that I am? Peter didn't hesitate. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus was like, yes. Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. In other words, Jesus heard His Father speak through somebody else besides Him. Amen. That's the whole reason Jesus came, was to reveal the world, reveal the Father to the world. And now the Father revealed, put that Spirit on Peter that he could recognize who Jesus was. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but My Father which is heaven. And upon this rock I'll build My church. Yes. Jesus, that's what God had been waiting for thousands of years, was to build His church, not a religion, a relationship. Amen. Do you see what I see? I did 18 years ago, and I've been looking ever since. Amen. Always looking for Jesus. Always looking for somebody to tell about Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Peter. But don't get upset. Peter didn't last long, did he? If you keep reading right there, immediately then Jesus told him, now I got to go to Jerusalem. I got to be offered up and be sacrificed. And Peter said, no, not so, Lord. And then Jesus had to turn around and rebuke the devil. Had rebuked Peter. Get behind me, Satan. You mind not the things of men, of God, but of men. But it hit him for a second. It hit him. It was revealed to him. He just couldn't contain it yet. Amen, because the big container wasn't in there. The Holy Ghost wasn't in there yet. But He was coming. Amen. Jesus just got a foretaste. Yeah, we're getting there. I don't know how many years He had been preaching right then, but Jesus has said, all this teaching, all this preaching, we're getting there. It's working. The Word of God is working on disciples. It's working on the flesh. Another great man of God, the Apostle Paul. Can't leave out the Apostle Paul. He saw Jesus. The Damascus Road experience. Amen. Paul was in pursuit. Not of Jesus. He was in pursuit of the church. Amen. And he was doing it because he thought he was doing what God had called him to do. He couldn't see Jesus. He saw Stephen testify, and Saul consented to it. He couldn't see Jesus, but he was hearing something. He was hearing somebody that saw Jesus. He was hearing the testimony of Stephen that saw Jesus, that knew Jesus, and believed, and went through the Holy Scriptures and revealed how he saw Jesus in the Old Testament. And now he heard him preaching here on the earth, and Stephen was giving testimony to it. And the Bible says that after he got done, he said Stephen's face glowed like an angel. His face shone with the glory of God. Because he was telling the same story that the angels told about how Jesus had been born on the earth. He brought him all through the Scriptures, all those religious people. But he didn't go to the same Bible college they went to. He didn't have his PhD, Stephen didn't. So they began to gnash with their teeth. But that didn't change the story, amen? Because the story was true. What Stephen was saying was true. True enough that the heavens was opened up and he saw, come on, help me, Stephen saw Jesus too. He saw the risen Lord standing up in heaven as they were stoning him to death. He saw him so much that the glory was upon him that he said the same thing Jesus said. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the glory. When the glory of God, the goodness of God hits you, you forget about others and all you see is Jesus. I believe when I get ready, if my time comes, if Jesus don't snatch me out of here before, I'm going to see Jesus. When my body dies, I'm seeing Jesus. I ain't seeing the pains of death because he took it for me. All I want to see is Jesus. And I want to see others see Jesus the way I see him. Amen. And that's what we're here to teach him about, teach you guys about. Do you see what I see? The Apostle Paul, at his conversion, even though he was blinded by that glory, he couldn't see with these eyes. And he was knocked off of his horse. Pretty big horse, probably. He probably had all that knight's armor on, too. Whatever he wore back in those days. I'm sure when he fell, it didn't feel too good. It hurt. But he saw Jesus by faith. And when Jesus appeared to him and said, Saul, Saul. When the Lord speaks, everybody hears. When he's speaking to you, you'll hear it. Amen. Why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting me? And Jesus said, it's hard to kick against the pricks. And then Paul said, I'll say Paul because his name got changed a little bit later. Paul said, Lord, what would you have me to do? So he saw Jesus and he called him Lord. At that moment in his life, he saw Jesus. And he received him as his Lord and said, now. See, Paul, he knew about authority. And he was just like David, he was after God's heart. And he said, now, what do you want me to do, Lord? Because he was in pursuit to kill the church. But he wanted to make sure he was going to do what God told him to do. What Jesus, what his Lord. And he told him, he sent him to a place and got hands laid on him and got his sight back. But then got filled with the Holy Ghost and power. Now he was going to do things the right way. God's way, not the way of the world, which is religion. Amen. Do you see what I see? We're moving right along. Now we're going to go to a reference that I did write down. Amen. We're going to go to the back of the book. The book of Revelation. Y'all probably know about where we're going. Chapter 1. Don't have to go far. Jesus is not hard to find. If you know what you're looking for. Amen. If you know what you're looking for. Chapter 1 and look at verse 12. Now all this book is good, but I'm going to pull out a little bit right here what we want to hear today. Revelation 1, 12 through 19. This is the Apostle John. John the Beloved. Amen. He knew the heartbeat of Jesus. He was on the Isle of Patmos. Little history. He was on the Isle of Patmos, John was, for his testimony of the Word of God, for his witness of the Lord, that they didn't like him either, and they put him on an island. The Apostle John was there because of his witness. He witnessed about Jesus, and they didn't like what he had to say, and they said, we're going to put him on. John was here, and it says, on the Lord's day, the Lord appeared to him in a vision, sent a messenger. And verse 12 says, and when John heard all this, it says, I turned to see the voice that I spoke with me. And John, having turned, he saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. And I'm believing I've released this to Ruthie. She's awesome. My daughter, she draws. She just did one. She was home from school break and she freehanded a picture. And I've been after her for a couple of years now. I want you to draw me Jesus. I want, out of the book of Revelation, I want that drawn. And I told her I want to put a frame and put it up in my office. And I want it by Christmas Day. See, she's not here. She had to work today. So I'm prophesying that I have that thing by Christmas Day. Do you see what I see? I want Ruthie to see what I see. But I want to see it through her eyes. I want to see Jesus through her eyes, Drew, and then I want to frame it. Amen? It's just something special. I know she's got the gift to do it. And this is what John's seen. He saw that one, like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white, like wool. Look at there, Harold, looking just like you. Jesus looks a lot like you, Harold. His hair was white as wool, white as snow, and his eyes, look at his eyes, like a flame of fire, burning. Amen. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice, I like that voice, is the sound of many waters. The sound, it'd be like Niagara Falls. You know, Jesse DePlantis talked about he saw heaven and at the throne, it's like the power of God. See, it's like, I've never been to Niagara Falls, but I can imagine what it sounds like here. All that water. And he had, verse 16, he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I, what?
Saw
him. Do you see what I see? John saw Jesus. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Because he just felt all the strength left him. But, this is where I like, Jesus. But he laid his right hand on me saying, do not be afraid. All his strength, John regained that strength. Man, when Jesus touches you, things have got to change. John was eyeball to eyeball with Jesus. And he fell at his feet. And Jesus released that anointing on him. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, John is beholding him. I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Jesus does. Amen. Mm-hmm. Write these things which you have what? Seen. Do you see what I see? Write these things which I have seen. Why? So that we can see it. So that we can see Jesus the way John saw Jesus. Amen. And you can. You can see him in the scriptures, but you see him with your heart. That's the Jesus I see. And that's the Jesus I pray you see. Now, there's somebody else. Our guest speaker talks about this Jesus for about 4 minutes.
That's the question. Jesus Christ, who are you? Who is Jesus? We can't escape him. We try to run from him, but there he is. He keeps popping up everywhere. Our greatest philosophers write about him. Our greatest historians write about him. Our greatest poems and plays are about him. Our greatest architecture is about him, even in the Soviet Union. You go to the Kremlin. I've been in the Kremlin, and it's all filled with paintings and pictures about Jesus. You go anywhere in the Soviet Union and you'll see images and art, and much of the music has to do with Jesus. They can't escape him. Well, we know some things about him. We know he was a man. Jesus was completely human. He was representative of man because the Bible says he was identified. He was numbered with the transgressors. We know that he was hungry. We know he got thirsty. We know he got tired. We know that he had the joys of friendship. We know that he wept at the tomb of a dead loved one. We know that he had all the characteristics of a man, And yet, very interestingly, the Bible says that he never committed a sin. In fact, he stood in front of the people of his generation and he said, I've never committed a sin. He said, have any of you, my neighbors, ever seen me commit a sin? They couldn't say a thing. Now, wouldn't that be something for a man to come along, 33 years of age, and say, who of you have ever seen me commit a sin? Well, I'll tell you, if I said that, all my team would jump straight up and say, I have. My wife's here. All of us are sinners, but Jesus was tempted in every point like as we are. He went through every temptation you've ever been through. There isn't a trial or a testing or a temptation that Jesus has not been through before you, and he resisted them and overcame them all. Everyone, he was a man, just like you. But he was more than that. He claimed to be the unique, only begotten, incarnate Son of God. In fact, he claimed pre-existence. The scripture says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Before time began, he existed. He said, before Abraham was, I am. I am in eternal existence. No wonder they got angry. No wonder they threw stones at him. No wonder they tried to kill him. And no wonder they eventually did crucify him. He stood and said, I am God. That he was who he claims to be, God in the flesh. I believe that the evidence is overwhelming that he is who he claims to be, the Son of the living God. But I cannot prove it scientifically. But I can prove it by the lives that he transforms every day. I can prove it because in my heart, I don't say I think, I hope, I say I know. And you know, there's another element in our lives that we don't think much about, and that's the element of faith. You think of the faith that you have to have every day. You have to have faith that your wife didn't put poison in your coffee this morning. You have to have faith in her. She might have felt like it, but she didn't. You have to have faith in the bank. When you write a check and sign it and you have money in the bank, you have to have faith that the bank's going to pay it. You have to have faith in the government. When you pull out a dollar bill, now I know it's shrinking, but you have faith that back of it is a dollar, that people will accept it as money. Everything we do is by faith. Now, for example, when I come up on a hill, and I live in the mountains of North Carolina, and we have a lot of hills, I don't stop my car before I get to the crest of the hill and get out and walk over and see if somebody's coming up the other side on the wrong side. I have faith to believe that the drivers are going to stay on their side. Faith, 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 everything. When you sat in that chair, had you ever sat in that chair before? I bet you didn't pick it up and examine it and put your hands on it to see if it'd hold you. By faith, you just sat down in it. You had faith that people wouldn't build a chair that wouldn't hold you. Everything we do is by faith. All right, take the same faith. Put it in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you will know who Jesus is. You accept him by faith, and he comes into your life and into your heart, and you know that he's who he claims to be.
Tell you what, I think I just need to close the service there. I can't hit much on that. Can't add to that sermon. But did you hear Jesus?
Yes.
Did you see Jesus? See, what I loved about Billy is he didn't have to prove scientifically about Jesus. He says, look at me. Look at my life. I know Jesus. I seen Jesus. I believe. See, it all comes down to what he talked about by faith. Amen. And it's all by faith. Do you see what I see? Do you see what Billy saw? He is seeing, him and Ruth, they're seeing Jesus right now every day. Physically, amen, in that, not their glorified bodies yet, but in their, the spirit and the soul part of them in heaven. And he says, just like John the Baptist, yes, I did believe the report of the Lord. I did witness about Jesus, and now I see him face to face. And I looked at that. I didn't zoom out, but there was a lot of people there. I don't know where Billy was specifically, that crusade. But did you hear his message? I mean, it was about a 23-minute sermon, but I clipped it out a little bit just to see. The message was, who is Jesus? Do you see people lined up at the mall looking for Jesus? Do you see them crowding in a lot of the churches to see Jesus? Kind of sad, no? But Jesus is still, his voice is still ringing out. Will you come? Because the time is coming short. It was a simple message of, do you believe who Jesus said he was? And do you remember the crowds that came to hear? Because see, it wasn't about Billy, it was about Jesus. So see, if you tell people, let Jesus just live big in you, you're not going to draw a crowd like Billy unless you're, and God puts that anointing that's specifically on your life. But he didn't have a profound message, it was a simple gospel. But he drew the crowds that Jesus, those that were seeing and hearing Jesus, and their lives was changed. Jesse Duplantis got saved hearing him on the TV in a motel room. I mean, he was hearing the voice before he saw him on the TV, but he didn't see Billy Graham, he saw Jesus. Because Jesus was living through Billy Graham. What about you? Because the only people that Jesus see is the Jesus in you and the Jesus in me. You've got to take Jesus out there and sell him to the world. Amen? And use however he uses you. Amen? Just tell your story about, do you see what I see? No longer is Jesus a baby. He was. No longer is he a teenager. He was. No longer is Jesus a carpenter. Now, he is building my mansion in heaven, so I really wouldn't. Down here on the earth, he's no longer a carpenter. But they knew him as the carpenter. Because, you see, Jesus, he's the Alpha and Omega. He's our risen Savior. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's Lord of Lords, and when he comes on that horse, his saddlebags will say, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He's coming for you and he's coming for me. Actually, we're coming with him at that point. There is a snatching away of the church. He's going to come before that time because that's the second coming. Before then, there's going to be a snatching away. And that's going to be for the ones that are looking for the signs. The wise men and women and children that have heard and leave church, but don't leave church. They're the ones that leave church, but don't leave church. That's the ones that's going to see Jesus. Because we're looking for his return anytime. Amen. We're not going to be asleep. We're going to be awake. Awake, awaken to righteousness. Why? Because Jesus is the bridge that connects the world back to heaven. Amen. He is the bridge. Amen. Do you see what I see? It's going to get better and better, guys. Just don't give up. Keep telling your story. Spread the good news. Thank you, Jesus. I would say, like Billy would say, if you don't know Jesus, don't leave this place not knowing. Leave this place a knowing. A knowing that Jesus died so that you could live forever with him in paradise, in heaven, together with all God's children that simply believe, childlike faith. Believe, I didn't say confess your sins. You believe that Jesus died and removed your sin. You don't have to confess it to him. You come to him just as you are. You say, Lord, I believe. I believe what that pastor said. I see what he sees. I believe you are the risen Savior. You are the Lamb that was sacrificed. And Lord, I need you in my life. And all you got to do is believe that he is the only Son of God that was given and took the sin of mankind upon his body on the tree. He became sin. Not only did he have sin, he became sin. He died and became that punishment that all the wrath of God could be poured upon so that we could be free from all that wrath and be cleansed from all unrighteousness and then walk free in this world and tell others the good news story that Jesus says, I'm coming. I'm coming back. But not only is he coming back, before then he wants you to be blessed here on this earth. He wants you to have good things. Jesus don't want you to be poor. He don't want you to be sick, because everything that he died for was for us. He became poor so that we could become rich in him. He took our sickness and our disease so that we could be free and walk free in our bodies. But we have to take those keys that he took for us, and we have to use them. If you got the keys to a brand new car, don't do you no good till you put the keys in there and crank it up and turn the power on and then get on down the road. Amen. So Jesus gave us the keys. Now he said, now crank it up. Crank it up a little bit. Make some noise, whether it be a Harley Davidson or whether it be a Honda. Big contrast there. Make some noise for Jesus. I don't care if you're a Honda or you a Harley, Jesus says. Just make some noise for Jesus. Make some noise. Ring some bells. Remember that song? Ring those bells, those Christmas bells. Let the people know that Jesus still loves them and that he's coming. And he's coming. And he's bringing his rewards with him when he comes. Amen? Because he knows we're ready for those. I mean, the biggest thing is we're going to take those crowns that he gives us and we're going to lay them at his feet. Because that's all, everything that we have is because of Jesus. But he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Man, we got mansions. We got all kind of things. We're going to get to enjoy it here on the earth before then. But just think about Jesus. And as you spend your Christmas time, like I say, we will have a Christmas service here, short service Christmas day. But think about your families, those that you know are hurting, and just let them see Jesus in you. Whatever the Lord impresses you to say or not to say, or just pray, however he leads you this Christmas day, this before it's over, let people see Jesus. Let people see Jesus.
Service at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, service will be at 10 o'clock. Christmas Day service probably 10 to 10:30. Thank you, Lord. Anybody in this place or by internet called upon you, that they, just like Saul, they get turned into Paul, they get changed, they get born again. If they called upon you today, Lord, they got born again. They see you as you are, a risen Savior. And Father, we just thank you right now that they would get into a good church, that, Lord, they would be filled with your Spirit. If you're here today and you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues, this would be your opportunity to come and be filled with the fullness that God wants you to be filled with, so you can walk freely and exercise the gifts that he's given you. If you're here today in this church, you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, now would be a good day to get filled with his power,